Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
For the Spurs, he's going to step more into that role, so more into an overseer's role, ultimately a less high-pressure role. And with Popovich stepping down as Spurs head coach, that immediately makes Mike Tomlin the longest-tenured head coach in any of the four North American major professional sports. He has been on the job since 2007. This will be, what, season number 19 for Mike Tomlin as Steelers head coach. And so he finally gets to supplant Pop. He stands alone on the top of Coach Mountain. And I think that makes it, Donnie, a nice time, an opportune time to take stock of where we're at with Mike. And I don't just blindly throw that out there and say, well, what do you guys think about him at 412-928-9370? Which is, by the way, also the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Although that is ultimately what I want to get into with you guys, and we have a very nice thing to give away for the best and most interesting caller on the matter. More on that in a minute. I think we're at an interesting point with Mike. We randomly had a caller earlier in the show bring up Tomlin and make a call that was supposed to be about Mike Sullivan become more about Mike Tomlin, and he said this is a huge year for Mike. I actually happen to agree with him on that. I think that there are a couple reasons why this year stands as different from some of the recent ones for Mike Tomlin. He does not have a quarterback, so in the most fundamental way, it's really no different than it was for him really since, 2018? So I think there's two versions of Ben. The guy up until his elbow snapped in half in week two in 2019, and the guy before that, the guy after that. There's what? I guess it would be BEW before elbow, whoosh, and then AEW, just to make a wrestling reference, Donnie, after elbow, whoosh. Since that time, since that injury, really, the version of Ben he got was a shadow of himself. I would like to think Ben would probably admit that deep down, although if it was me saying it, he wouldn't. And then he's gotten Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph twice, and only the second and very brief version of Mason Rudolph gave you what you would call high-end quarterback play on any kind of steady basis. Russell Wilson never really did. Justin Fields never really did. So he doesn't have a quarterback, which means it's not truly make or break because you can't say he has the most important part handled, but he's part of that. And now that he's the longest-tenured head coach in North American pro sports, it is time to take stock of him. And one thing, Donnie, that I have noticed, I don't know if Pony goes along with this as much. Maybe you're going to be a more receptive audience to it. I do get the sense, if I was going to say anything that has surprised me about him in any kind of a positive way, because we know that most every conversation about him turns negative in one form or fashion, and it's based on frustration. It's understandably and justifiably based on their lack of postseason success. Haven't won a playoff game in almost a decade now. I am getting the sense, though, 1 week essentially after their draft concluded, the third draft of the Con Tomlin Weidel triumvirate, one in which most people think Tomlin carries the hammer and tells everybody what he wants to do. I actually do think that the noteworthy development that's happened over the last 3 years is that Mike, at least when it comes to their drafts, has not, at least in practice or in terms of how the drafts have played out, been the boogeyman demanding and pounding the table for his guys to be picked when he wants them to be picked. Some would argue, and most would argue, that what I'm about to say would be a good thing if it hadn't happened. If Broderick Jones, or if Mike Tomlin got his way, I don't think Jones would have been their pick. They'd have taken Porter at 17. They'd have stayed put. Other people in the room convinced him not to do that. Post-Kenny Pickett goof, they didn't reach for Shedeur Sanders this year. Everyone connected Mike to that. It wasn't even close. It was never. It seems like it wasn't even seriously considered. I thought Sanders was QB2. I didn't think he was a first-round pick. Everyone wanted to connect dots that Tomlin was desperate, hot to trot to get a quarterback, that he was going to take Shedeur come hell or high water. That never even sniffed happening. And then they took a bunch. They took linemen. They fortified. They beefed up. It doesn't feel like. I know Jones is not right now a good pick. They catered to Dan Moore, which is stupid, which also has to do with Tomlin because he's running the on-field product. But I guess in balance, Donnie, if I'm looking for anything that's changed now almost 19 full years into his tenure, it doesn't feel like Mike is deserving, at least in the moment, of the boogeyman in the draft logo, where just basically anything bad in the organization is Mike's fault. He's a tyrant and a bully, and everything good happens almost by miracle behind his back. Like there's a team of people fixing his mistakes, and that's when the good things happen. He does seem to be working more like a part, admittedly an influential part, of a more team concept as far as trying to build these guys. And if you were going to ask me what I actually like about the direction of the Steelers right now, Don, it would definitely be that they seem to have a plan in the draft. Whether they can execute it on the field with the players they get is to be determined. But under this new regime, I feel like they have at least gotten back to some sort of cohesive idea of what they want to be from an identity standpoint, and they've taken players to try and get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, this year it was more so like they really wanted to get the character guys, and I know that we've kind of joked about that stuff in the past with a player like Chase Claypool, but they drafted like three or four team captains, I think it was, last weekend, and I think three of those guys came out of day three, whereas the first two drafts under Conn and Weidel, at least, it was more of a focus on that like RAS score, like that raw athletic score,
yeah,
where they wanted to get guys that were, you know, near perfect in pretty much every selection. But I mean, it's absolutely looking like there is way more of a team effort when it comes to draft night and draft weekend, instead of just Mike Tomlin rolling with iron fist, unless they have us all fooled. But I feel like we can get the gist enough to know that it's been a collab effort from those guys, or else we would have examples of
Porter would have been their first round pick
getting taken,
yeah,
or maybe they do make the decision last week to go with Sanders. Although I don't think, given what ended up happening with him, I don't think Tomlin had any interest whatsoever.
Well, yeah,
I started to wonder on Saturday that the reason why Tomlin spoke so highly of him was just a favor to Dion. Like, hey man, I'll gas up your kid, but we're not going to take him.
I mean, it could have been that. He might on some level have interviewed with the kid and thought like, he's not for us, but like, I don't think he's a bad kid or he's a bad person, and I'm going to say a few nice things about him. But I think Mike likes to play into that idea that he likes every shiny toy in the window, and it's pretty obvious that he's a little more sober-minded about this process. Where I would say, so I think that's a positive. I'm probably on an island there. I'm sure when I toss this out to the callers and turn them loose here, I'm going to get ripped for being naive, which is fine. I'm choosing to be optimistic. Whereas that leaves me hoping like he's an old dog who's learning some new tricks, or a tiger who's changing his stripes a little bit, or he can play nice with others. The on-field stuff still gives me enormous amounts of pause. The defense got run over. It's still his defense. Arthur Smith might have had, it's hard to say how much say-so he did have. It's pretty obvious that Mike does not have a comfort level still at the quarterback position. Maybe he's going to give Aaron Rodgers more deference because Rodgers is still a more accomplished player than Wilson whenever Rodgers eventually does get here, since we all think that's going to happen. I think the final evolution here where I would say, wow, in his early 50s, so long tenured on the job, Mike is finally catching up with the times, is if they draft a quarterback next year and he says, I understand he's going to take some lumps. I understand I've got to let him play. I've got to actually surround him with an environment that like helps him develop. I'll think that he's really like turned an odd corner in this like third act of his career. You know, if you split it into like sort of 6-year increments, how it would look, I think it would be a kind of a certain, he would have turned a corner a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if he's able to turn things on its ear when it comes to how the quarterback position is viewed here and how the offense can evolve here, then I will fully give him credit for being able to do that. It's just there are plenty of reasons and plenty of examples now since late stage Ben and even post Ben, like why we can't trust that and why we just don't think this offense will ever turn into something special, because it just seems like every single season there are stories of the shackles that he puts on the guy playing QB. No matter how tenured the guy is. We hear the stories about Wilson last year. The guy's been in the league for over 10 years.
Like he might be validated in one sense that like the NFL's going back to big boy ball and like running it a little bit more and beefing up. None of that matters. Like the Eagles do it better than anyone, and I'm giving them credit because they're starting to build a team that's trying to become like the Eagles are built, and I think he's not getting in the way of that. I can't let him off the hook though. If he doesn't coach them a little more aggressively, none of that's actually going to matter. Like the Eagles are the Eagles because they still take chances. They have this great roster, and their head coach, even though I kind of make fun of him at times, lets them do their thing. And that's where Mike, I think, still gets failing grades from me. Just the hands are way too tight on the steering wheel with everything they do.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, let's do this. We got Pearl Jam tickets to give away, a pair of them. We're going to traffic in nuance a little here, Donnie. We're not going to ask you to name like the last 10 winners of the Kentucky Derby to win these tickets. Mike Tomlin is now the longest tenured head coach in any North American major sport. Greg Popovich stepping aside made that happen. So Mike accomplished something without actually doing anything. The cheese stands alone here at the top of Mount Coach. Narrowly ahead of John Harbaugh, who has come much closer to actually getting fired. In fact, he probably would have been fired had Lamar Jackson not saved his job, way back in 2018. Mike has never been in serious danger. He's like a boxer. He's never been down. He's never been hurt. He's never really even been against the ropes other than with the fans. And for him, that's like taking punches from a small child, because the fans' opinion doesn't matter here. So I want to know... You're going to come in and flamethrow him. Just have some facts. Have a good take. I want like the most interesting call here that you can provide. Your feeling right now on Mike Tomlin. He has almost been the head coach here for 20 years. This station has been around for 15 and a half years almost. I've only been out of, I exited college, essentially, when Mike Tomlin got hired. His first year as Steelers head coach was my first year out of college. I'm 40. I'm rickety. I got people in this office. I got to run this weekend, a relay portion of the marathon. I got people telling me about kinesio tape, Donnie. Like that black tape you put all
takes
over yourself.
Takes down the swelling.
Apparently, we got Amy, what would I call Amy? Just like, she's like the Michael Clayton of the building. She doesn't even have a title. She just fixes things that are not what they should be. And she's very active. She like swims every morning. She's kind of an inspiration to me, even though I don't actually act on the inspiration. She's like, oh yeah, get kinesio tape. So point is, I'm old and rickety, and Mike Tomlin's been the head coach of the Steelers for my entire post-collegiate life. So I want to know how you feel about him right now at 412-928-9370. The most interesting call or take on the head coach of the Steelers is going to win a pair of Pearl Jam tickets. Just know that Jeff in South Park is one of the people on the line, and he will be foaming at the mouth to come up with the most intelligent thing he can say about this, the most provocative thing he can say, because he probably lives for Pearl Jam. He's probably got a poster of Mike McCready still in his marital bedroom. Probably has a poster of, what else would it be? Stone Gossard. I hope I'm not naming dead members of Pearl Jam now. Jeff Ament. Eddie Vedder. Things of that nature. Let's go to Mike to start things off. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I can sum it up in very short words. The standard and the standard is mediocrity.
All right, Mike, that's not going to get it done. I know brevity is the soul of wit. I believe Bill Shakespeare, not the Steelers draft pick, the playwright, said brevity is the soul of wit. That was a little too much brevity for my liking. The standard is the standard, and the standard is mediocre. He hasn't, if I were going to give like a critique outside of Mike, he hasn't been challenged enough by ownership. I do think being put on a hot seat can be healthy if a coach handles it the right way. John Harbaugh is every bit as stubborn and I'm sure full of his own belief in his own ability as Mike is. When he had to put it all on the line because he knew he was probably in some real jeopardy of losing his job, granted, he's had worse seasons in Baltimore than Mike's ever had, he threw his offense in the garbage to try to figure out something that worked with Lamar Jackson and saved his ass as a result. I don't think being pushed by ownership is a bad thing. In fact, I think it's a very good thing when it's warranted, and it is here. Dave in North Huntington. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? So, you know, my opinion on him has evolved. At first, I liked him, then I hated him. He's incompetent and everything else. And in these last 2 years, he's starting to show me that he might be willing to change a little bit. I think these next 2 years are critical.
What have happened, Dave, the last 2 years that have made you feel that way?
Well, more this year with this draft, actually, than last year. But his willingness to compromise, I think, with the draft class and those picks, I think, was a step forward. These next 2 years, I think, are critical. If they play well with Rodgers, it'll help them. Next year, we'll see how it goes if they get a new quarterback. If they don't win a playoff game this year or next year, I think his ego will I don't think he'll be able to handle it after these next 2 years because the outcry
if they miss
of
the
everyone
Dave, if
is
they miss the playoffs,
so
if they miss the playoffs, thanks, Dave. If they miss the playoffs the next two seasons with Rodgers and then with whoever would step in after Rodgers, unless it's a highly drafted rookie. So he's got 3 years now in this deal, Donnie. Year one, we all assume will be Rodgers. Like, everyone's still pointing that direction. Let's say it doesn't go so well that Rodgers decides he wants to play till he's 50. Year two will be new quarterback, presumably a rookie that they draft somewhere. As you know, this isn't officially with Pony not here. This is a Sellers or Sell It show. Lenoris Sellers or Bust. Lenoris Sellers or We Riot. He's already rocketing up boards, by the way. He's QB1 for some people next year, so it's probably a pipe dream for me. It would be a rookie the next year, and then it would be the rookie in their second year after that. They go three more playoff-free years. I would hope that Art Rooney would say, yeah, I've got to make a change on my own. I think at that point, Mike would want to make a change and just not be the head coach anymore. Like, if they have a bad first year under a rookie quarterback, and that would be in 2026's season, I would think he'd almost say, let me go in as a lame duck. I don't know if I want to attach myself to this for that much longer. Hammer in White Oak. Hello, Hammer.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Right now, when it comes to Tomlin, I think he's just been hamstrung, and I think he got hamstrung by Ben sticking around as long as he did. If Ben, I think, would have retired a couple years sooner, I think there would have been better quarterback opportunities to snag. But there's also a couple things Tomlin still has to learn to this day that I don't see him improving upon. And number one would be time clock management. That's been his MO.
Are you going through a car wash? What's happening here, Hammer?
Oh, I don't know if you know where Hayes Noose is. It's a little bit of a burrow way, and I just had a tractor trailer drive past me.
Hammer, it sounds like, I mean, it's as far as the Ben stuff, Ben was always going to command more authority than probably Mike or any coach would be comfortable with, but I'm not going to give Mike a special pass there. That's how it works for every coach in the NFL, I think, of a really good quarterback. Like, do we really think that Aaron Rodgers didn't call the shots pretty much wherever he was, whenever he was there? You work in tandem with that guy. You don't try to work against the guy. Belichick finally got Brady kicked out of New England. Brady just wanted to be gone, and it looked pretty bad for Bill right after that. You know, Mike also could have put his foot down a little bit more strongly when it came to Ben. I think the whole organization could have, but I'm not going to give him a ton of grace for that. I mean, when he's tried to do it his way, it has not worked that well, and he's been neurotic about it. I think he's been uptight as a coach. I think he's been so tense trying to win football games the way he thinks he can win them, where it would make him look better, that they've gotten less out of it. Ben is on the Fan. Referendum on how he feels about Mike Tomlin, who is now the longest tenured coach in American and North American professional sports, with the news that Greg Popovich stepped aside in San Antonio today. Hey, Ben.
Hey. So if you look at his career as a whole, you're a probabilities guy. So 32 teams in the NFL, on average, you should win the Super Bowl, what, once every 32 years, right? You should make it to the Super Bowl once every...
That assumes that every 16. Team is run to the same extent and has the exact same talent, which we know isn't true, for the record.
Right. But all I'm saying is, now, I know he hasn't done a whole lot recently, but all I'm saying is he's beaten the averages. I mean, he's won two Super Bowls once every 10 years on average, right? He's made it
he's
to...
He's won one Super Bowl every 10... One every 10 years.
Right, which is better than once every 32 years. You
That's
know what
only
mean?
If he wins one in the next couple of years that you can say one every 2 years or every 10 years. Otherwise, it becomes one every 20.
Still, I mean, he's still beating the average. You know what I mean?
You know what, Ben? You're not going to win the tickets, and I'm sorry. You know why? Because it sounds like we're getting a variation of he has outperformed the league mean here. Don't come with that Jim Rooney nonsense trying to win Pearl Jam tickets. What are you doing? That was like a Trojan horse for the Jim Rooney take right there. You thought you were just going to get that rickety old thing in here and drop better than the league average? Now, if I got that wrong and he was trying to do a sly Jim Rooney reference there, then I apologize. But that sounded like genuine, you know, making a genuine case.
It did sound a little Jim Rooney-esque.
It definitely did. And if he was trying to go, like, very meta with me there, then I apologize to him. But no, I'm not going with that. I can't go for that. No. No can do, Donnie. I know we're not giving away Hall & Oates tickets, but I can't go for that. Ezra is in Pittsburgh. Hello, Ezra.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep. I'm
super big Pearl Jam fan, too. And
No. You cannot try to appeal to me with that right off the jump.
That's not what I'm going with. That's not what I'm saying. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. You can fire away here. We got a loaded lines.
Okay.
Loaded lines here, Ezra.
No, I think about that Cleveland loss and, like, Ben just soaking, like just sulking, and I'm just like, it's got to get better, and every year it's the same thing, the same losses on the road, the bad losses for Tomlin. It's just not getting better, and you just want, and you think that they're, you know, I just don't have faith in them anymore. Like, I've been ready to move on him for like 5 years now, and I try to give him the benefit of the doubt when he does stuff, but then it's just constant. We're going to go to the playoffs. We're going to lose by 30. We're going to finish 9-8. We're just going to miss the playoffs. It's the same old story every year. And I just, you know what? It's just time to move on.
Ezra, stay on hold. If you were trying to be better than Ezra, I'm sorry. You're going to be left desperately wanting for these Pearl Jam tickets because Ezra's getting them. He did actually win me over with. I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. And I'm sorry to everybody else that called in, but I went in chronological order on these. Ezra, stay on the line. Get your info. Buddy, because you just said every day is exactly the same, am I making puns with songs from other bands here? Yes. because you said that with Mike Tomlin, every day is exactly the same. Buddy, you're going to win two tickets to see Pearl Jam PPG Paints Arena on Sunday, May 18th. Congratulations on all your success. And by the way, Ezra, who won those Pearl Jam tickets, called in on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Doing the debrief early today. Why are we doing the debrief early today? Because Mark Cabali is due to come in about 15 minutes time, and we'll chop things up with him on the Steelers draft. Now that we have the full draft done, he can give us his take on that. Also, maybe some thoughts on Mike Tomlin broadly now that he's in the news just because of this Greg Popovich story, that Tomlin stands alone atop the coaching longevity heap in North American sports. And we're also going to make Cabali participate in something. I actually think it'll be fun. He'll enjoy this, you know, because it's his chance to like come up with a list and talk trash on other people. So I feel like he's going to absolutely love it. Anyway, the Donnie Debrief is brought to you by our friends at Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Big Don, take it away.
The debrief, May 2, I almost said second there.
Electric Boogaloo.
May 2, 2025. Malzy, I thought we could do a fun one today, so I found a list of NFL birthdays for May the 2nd. Now, there is only one guy on this entire list in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is also the only guy on this list that has been an all-pro player, all-pro first-team player.
Okay.
He did it three times. He is also a proud Pitt man that is the lone player to be in the Hall of Fame,
okay,
to be an all-pro player.
Three-time all-pro.
Yes.
So this is a little birthday guessing game for me.
Okay. Yes.
All right, hold on. Four Pro Bowls, three-time all-pro.
No longer an active player. As I said, he's in the Hall of Fame. And I'll say this, he played...
Didn't play for the Steelers.
He did not.
Okay. But he's a Pittsburgher.
Yes. Played at Pitt. Is a multi-time Super Bowl champion.
Mm.
You want me to give you the
no.
like decade he mostly played in?
No. Because I feel like if you gave me the decade, it might give it away. May 2nd birthday. I feel like if I had happened to have been looking more closely at Pitt's Twitter feed today, maybe, right? You said played at Pitt, right?
Yes.
I feel like I would have maybe seen it. They'd have said, like, happy birthday, duh.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't. I didn't see them send anything out, but I would be surprised if they didn't.
Give me the decade.
Played in the 80s.
Mm.
Played from early 80s, and his final year was
of the 90s. Until you said early 80s, my first thought was actually Ditka randomly somehow, because he did play at Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
80s to early 90s, and he's a Hall of Famer. No, he was early 90s. I was going to say Reuben Brown.
No.
This is a good one. This is pissing me off, too. No, he didn't play at Pitt. And what? Frelick? No.
You're in the ballpark because you have the correct position group. I'll give you that clue.
Grimm?
Russ Grimm.
Big Russ Grimm.
Russ Grimm.
You don't say. Man, what a...
In 1959.
What a sliding doors moment. Like, what happens if it goes the other way if Tomlin does not come in there and knock their socks off? Because I think it's pretty much accepted as fact now. Grimm thought he was getting the job. Tomlin just came in and absolutely blew them away during the interview. Just crushed the interview. I would love to know how... I would love to have just seen the interview, right? Like, be an invisible fly on the wall. Because he had to have just annihilated all of their expectations. He's an incredibly impressive speaker. I bet he was even more so back then because he's... He can't fall back on tropes and cliches, and he's not as comfortable as he is now in the job. He was trying to get the job. Wonder what happens if Grimm gets that gig, man. The thing that always, I guess, perplexed me would be the right word, because, and also maybe like for people who don't like Mike, oh, they should have given the job to Russ Grimm. Do you not find it a little bit strange that he did not get a bite as a head coach anywhere else. Like, he never got a shot to do anything else like that. That's what always makes me kind of, I arch an eyebrow. Don't you? How could you not? You would think if he was like seen as this incredibly dynamic coaching candidate, somebody else would have, because he's a pretty young guy. I mean, that's how many years ago? 17
so
years
he's
ago.
66
he'd been,
right
he'd been
now.
49. I mean, that's still plenty young in coaching terms. I know now you've got a bunch of boy genius type coaches who are like, you know, 35. If you don't have a head coaching job, you're never going to get one. But that would have been plenty young back then. I always did think it was kind of noteworthy that he never coached for anybody as a head. He never got like what I remember. I tried to follow it, but I never remember him getting serious consideration. Do you? For
other than
gigs?
Here, no, because he followed Wisenhunt to
right.
Arizona,
and then nothing. Like there was just it just didn't do anything. I don't know. Like I would think if you're, he's also a Whippeal kid, Southmoreland.
Yep.
I just would think if you're like a pretty hot commodity that you would have gotten looks elsewhere. Maybe I didn't follow it closely enough to see, but I guess you never really heard from him after that, did you? Is that fair to say? Like you never really heard about Russ Grimm. Hey, he's on the short list here, there, or elsewhere. Man, the Hogs too. Got people putting grown men putting dress like floral print dresses on and putting pig noses on. I think that's a pretty underrated. That's a pretty underrated ridiculous group of fans. You've got the guys who wear the ugly faces at Penn State games, like the I would call them the hillbilly Penn State fans, or like the Hills Have Eyes Penn State fans, because that's what the masks kind of remind me of. I'm not even sure what they were supposed to be. Those Hogs fans were devoted bunch. Hey, honey, what are you doing today? Well, you know it's a Sunday, hun, so I'm going to get the boys together. We're going to get a bunch of beers, put on dresses, put on pig noses, and go cheer on Grimm and the boys.
One of the all-time great groups of offensive linemen.
I was going to say, well, you're an offensive lineman, so that's actually where I wanted to go next. When you think of great position groups, like guys who were known for being collectively awesome like that, where do they rank? Is there like a better, more iconic, I guess, group of offensive linemen in the pros than that bunch? Like,
I don't think so. I don't think there's any group that you could like that. That feels to me the only group of offensive linemen that was able to have its own nickname and reach such popularity in a position that we know is not popular.
So I'm trying to think of when it would have been like their heyday. You know, basically through the 80s. Jeff Bostic was the center. I'm looking at all pros from that team. So you'd have had Grimm. What else? Schlereth was on those. Was
yeah,
part of the
Joe
Hogs.
Jacoby.
Joe
was
Jacoby's
there.
The one I couldn't think of top
Mark
of my
May.
Head. Mark May. Okay.
So you had two pick guys.
The only other offensive lines that used to get talked about as like such a cohesive collective, and they didn't have a funny nickname, were just all those Shanahan Denver lines where the guys were like 275, 280, running and cut blocking the crap out of everyone. But yeah, now that I think about it, I can't think of like an iconic offensive line. I feel like those names get bestowed on college teams. Remember the Nebraska, the teams I always liked had the black shirt defense? With like Grant Wistrom, they had those dudes. They called them the black shirts. I think that was their practice jerseys maybe or something. But I think you're right. That's probably the most iconic offensive line, and he was a huge part of it.
He's also the only Hall of Famer from that group.
Man, hold on. So that's the other thing that surprises me. I guess Jacoby probably gets one more All-Pro. He had back-to-back first teams, but then he was just Pro Bowl, and then it would kind of, then it fell off a little bit. You would think that there'd be at least more, like two of those guys for such an iconic bunch. Also,
lot of them played for close to or over a decade.
Here's another one. Man, I guess Schlereth just was never viewed in the same class as those guys. Ole Stink. He only had two Pro Bowls, no All Pros for him, man. And I always thought of Schlereth as like one of the most identifiable parts of that Broncos line, man.
Yeah, like I remember him more. I mean, I know I was young, very
young. He was the guy I remembered from
the Broncos.
Yeah, he was the guy I remembered from those iconic like Elway teams. That was the name on their offensive line that I always thought about. In fact, if you asked me to name the rest of that team, the offensive lineman, I'm not sure I can really get there. I'm not sure I can like come up with the names for you. Schlereth was the one that always stuck out to me. Now, Pony, this is a more fun thing to do when Pony's here because he's rattling off all of them, but he was the only guy I ever thought of. All right, good debrief. I like a little addition of the birthday game. 0 for 1 on my first swing, but I connected on the second one. Reteed, had a mulligan and reteed. I'm glad I didn't actually say Ditka, though, because that would have been bad.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.